This morning we welcome Reverend Denise Gouch as our speaker. She came to Unitarian Universalism by way of a Roman Catholic youth in a military family and a young adulthood spent at Vanderbilt University, where she almost completed a doctorate in historical theology, but she had a bit more fun managing the Divinity School bookstore. She has been a member of the First UU Church of Nashville since 2001. She joined the church staff there in 2005 as membership coordinator. Denise earned the Master of Divinity degree from Vanderbilt University in 2011, and she was ordained to the UU ministry jointly by First UU Nashville and the UU Church of Huntsville, Alabama in 2015. She enjoys sharing life in and out of church with partner David Lewis and their two children. Her primary passion these days is looking for ways to support the growth of Unitarian Universalism in Middle Tennessee and the Southern region. Reverend Gouch will speak on the topic, where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Let's welcome Reverend Gouch. Good morning. I'm so pleased to be here with you this morning. By the way, I couldn't believe that was the first time you ever sang that hymn. Where are we going? You know, where do we come from? It's beautiful. Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? I just love a good question or three, don't you? These questions we sang a little while ago are good questions. In my book, that means they do not point straight to a clear answer, but allow for multiple interpretations and suggest the opening up of new perspectives. With these three particular questions, we could be asking about the origins and destination of the human race, or of the planet Earth. Or we might be wondering about an individual, or a family unit, or communities of people, like Middle Tennessee State University, or the UU Fellowship of Murfreesboro. If you decide to come to the talk back after this service, I'll suggest that we play a game that invites you to reflect on your individual spiritual history and the communities that have nurtured you. But for the purposes of this talk, the we of our hymn, questions, is Unitarian Universalism, broadly speaking. And the difficulties we sometimes have in explaining ourselves to others point to the riddle and the mystery of who we are as a people of faith. After a decade of working on staff in Nashville as the membership coordinator of a mid-sized church and comparing notes with my colleagues in other congregations, I can report that there is no single unifying factor, possibly excepting curiosity, no other unifying factor among those who seek out our congregations and attend our programming. Because it's my job to be available to newcomers, what I do notice among folks encountering Unitarian Universalism for the first time is a common set of questions. What do you use believe? Is there a book I can read that will give an authoritative account of Unitarian Universalism? What makes this a church or a religious tradition? How does this congregation or your association of congregations hang together? Those of you who've been around Unitarian Universalism for a few years may remember the drive of about 12 years ago to develop and practice our elevator speeches. An elevator speech is a concise statement of UU identity that might satisfy a stranger's curiosity in the brief span of an elevator ride. I'll admit I always need to imagine a big city, large conference hotel elevator, i.e. a really long elevator ride, so that you have enough time, hopefully, to deliver a few, we hope, coherent sentences. But I've never really been satisfied with this exercise. Unitarian Universalism is complicated and doesn't lend itself well to easy reduction. Part of what I always want to offer in answering a question like what is Unitarian Universalism, or more commonly but more difficult perhaps, is what do you use believe? Part of what I want to offer when I answer those questions is an assertion that every individual UU would offer their own different, sometimes wildly different, answer to that question, and that the differences are the most important part of the answer. Occasionally, outsiders dismiss us as a serious religious or spiritual community because we do not lay out a coherent set of dogmatic statements. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything, they might think. And they may tend to assume that a lack of concrete belief statements means that being Unitarian Universalist means you can believe anything. If they are particularly fearful, they may even jump to the conclusion that UUs are unethical or amoral. If you don't have firm and consistent beliefs, you can't have anything to back up a good code of ethics, can you? Well, our tradition begs to differ on that point. In fact, the seven principles which guide our covenantal relationships with each other, and which I notice you recite as part of every Sunday worship service, those seven principles are stringently ethical, even though they avoid presenting beliefs about ultimate reality. In fact, they are statements with which many folks from a wide variety of religious backgrounds might agree. Many of us who grew up in other traditions originally found Unitarian Universalism appealing precisely because this list of commitments is so clearly and inclusively delineated. We wandered into Unitarian Universalism, read or heard the seven principles, and thought, of course, those are in line with the values I've cherished my whole life. I often say that I learned most of what makes me a good UU from Roman Catholicism. And what I mean is that I learned from my Roman Catholic upbringing something of each of these seven principles. Our sense of community, the glue that holds us individually together within our congregations and also connects our congregations to each other, is based on a behavioral covenant, an agreement that we will behave towards each other and toward all human beings as if we each have worth and dignity as part of the web of all existence, while working toward justice and equity and compassion in our communities and cultivating democratic process and spiritual growth as important dimensions of the human search for truth and meaning. What our principles do not define, and this is perhaps the reason we puzzle those arriving on our doorsteps from other traditions, is that the precise ways in which we understand both the essential or existential, and here again, people differ, which word they like better, but the way we understand that basic, just the very foundational basis of our principles and the ways in which we work out these commitments. Yeah, that sentence made more sense last night. We puzzle people. They arrive and they don't know what to make of us because we don't work those things out precisely for everyone. Individual UUs, for example, might understand the interconnected web the way a physicist would, as a complex interaction of matter and energy, or in terms of evolutionary biology, or in altogether less scientific or rational terms, with reference to chakras or mystical experiences or magic or chi. And these odd, quirky UU folks with these richly creative and wonderfully different habits of thought still gather as Unitarian Universalists to work and worship together, usually, although we know not always, without conflict. This, I think, not any particular belief or even statement of principle, is what makes us distinctive as Unitarian Universalists. In response to questions about our identity as a spiritual tradition or a community, we are accustomed to referring to our seven principles, those principles we read earlier this morning. And I think that can be very useful, especially as a way to build connections with folks who may be aligned with our values but do not know it yet. Today, however, I'd like to turn our attention to Unitarian Universalism's six sources. Who knows what I'm talking about? Just indulge me. Oh, good number of you. Okay. Our six sources are part of the principles and purposes of the Unitarian Universalist Association of Congregations, but generally get far less of our attention. If you turn to, in your gray hymnal to the very first hymn, which is one of my favorites, nobody sings very much anymore. And then turn back one page. You'll be looking at the principles and purposes statement from the UUA bylaws. Who knew those were there? Few people. Still, y'all are sharp. But a lot of us never knew these were here until somebody pointed them out to us. Who looks at the very first pages of a hymnal? When I was here last month, our conversation during talkback turned to a discussion of these flags here that you hang up every week in your sanctuary. The display of symbols like these carries immense appeal to many UUs I have met, both individuals and congregations. Many congregations have flags, posters, windows, or other art that displays a variety of religious symbols from particular world religions. Although the selection can vary, and almost always there is some confusion about what one or two of the symbols represent. Last month, we did manage to ID all of them, but only because one person, I think it was you, Monica, had actually looked them up before. She had been curious about them and looked them all up. So if you want to know which world religion or group of traditions each of those symbols represents, you can ask Monica later. I know she'd love to share because she's grinning. So if you look at this string of flags, you see that there's a certain parallelism among these traditions. Each is a distinct religious tradition. We have goddess worship and Native American spirituality. And is this Hinduism, Monica? The next one is Hinduism and Taoism. And oh, the wheel is that seat. That's Buddhism. The wheel, of course, the wheel. And Judaism, Christianity, Islam, and Sufi is with the wings, okay. And then, of course, you know the chalice, I hope, is a symbol for Unitarian Universalism. But there's a suggestion in this flag that you have all these separate, there's not a hierarchical arrangement, but they're all separate traditions, and we honor those by hanging them. And people also sometimes have necklaces. Somebody gave this as a gift to me. But you see this, and a lot of UUs find this really appealing, and I think that's interesting. Although many UUs enjoy decorating their sacred spaces or themselves with reminders of our affinities with these various religious and spiritual traditions and the inspiration we draw from them, the historical practices and theologies of Unitarianism, Universalism, and Unitarian Universalism are more than a simple amalgam of these varied influences. Reading from the hymnal, we find that the UUA bylaws describe Unitarian Universalism as a living tradition that draws upon sources ranging from the experience, words, and deeds of individuals through the thought and practice of ancient and enduring religious traditions to the entirety of existence, understood, as I've suggested already, in a multitude of ways. So I'm just going to read these, and you might want to follow along in the hymnal or not. But you see, I'm going to skip over that first section, which is the principles. We read those earlier. We often refer to them as our seven principles. And below that, it says, the living tradition we share draws from many sources. Direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder affirmed in all cultures, which moves us to a renewal of the spirit and an openness to the forces that create and uphold life. That's the first one. Second, words and deeds of prophetic women and men which challenge us to confront powers and structures of evil with justice, compassion, and the transforming power of love. Wisdom from the world's religions, which inspires us in our ethical and spiritual life. Fourth, do it that way. Jewish and Christian teachings, which call us to respond to God's love by loving our neighbors as ourselves. Fifth, humanist teachings, which counsel us to heed the guidance of reason and the results of science and warn us against idolatries of the mind and spirit. And finally, spiritual teachings of earth-centered traditions, which celebrate the sacred circle of life and instruct us to live in harmony with the rhythms of nature. So, like these seven principles with which they are meant to be paired, these six sources leave us a bit of room, or a lot of room, to play. In fact, I think they suggest a very rich soil that we as a tradition have only barely begun to explore. The commentary I have read on them suggests that they are not offered in any hierarchical order. And unlike the string of flags here, or a collection of symbols from different traditions, these six sources are neither strictly parallel nor mutually exclusive categories. Jewish and Christian teachings, for example, is a very large and diverse field, and earth-centered traditions would be impossible to catalog comprehensively. And both are just parts of the much larger umbrella named the world's religions, from which we UUs glean wisdom. Direct experience of wonder and mystery can be understood as grounded in the life of human individuals, And indeed, some of our most potent religious experiences are solitary or individual. Like, I'm so glad, Jenny, I don't know where you're sitting, but I'm so glad, there you are. I'm so glad you shared during Joys and Concerns about your experience. That's the kind of thing that is meant to be a source for our collective communal living and living tradition. So some of our most potent religious experiences are individual or solitary, but the experience of worship is also a direct experience of another kind. Something happens when we sing together, and it's not quite like normal conversation or intellectual discourse. Shared experience, whether in groups gathered for religious purposes or based on individual practices prescribed by religious tradition, which build a sense of shared culture and identity, lie at or near the core of all living and lively communal religious traditions. Similarly, the tools of science and reason, the humanist critique of narrow and ungrounded theology, the prophetic longing to meet evil with love and transformation. Threads of these sources can be traced in many, many places and times and traditions and corners of the Unitarian Universalist world. These sources, which have been edited over the decades and almost certainly will change again someday, read to me as our best current statement of where we come from, what we strive to be, and where we might go. What I love about them is that they encourage both inclusivity and discernment. I have always wished, with heart and mind, for an understanding of the world of reality in which everything belongs, in which things and people and ideas are not divided up into good and bad, worthy and unworthy, us and them. And Unitarian Universalism comes closest, in my experience, to being a container for community and religious practice in which everything that is, all that is our lives, all that is experienced, whatever is believed after honest, thoughtful consideration and consultation with others, the bewildering range of human emotions and bodily expressions and personality quirks and shortfallings and achievements and disappointments and joy, all of that can find compassionate acceptance and an invitation to participate in transformation and to progress toward our best hopes for ourselves and each other. Our sources strike me as a map of a whole world of religious growth and development laid out before each of us and all of us, a way to trace where we've been, place the "you are here" red X, and plan the dream trips ahead of us. Ooh, that looks interesting. And this too. How about you take the high road and I'll take the low road and we can compare notes when we meet up later. And it's a great big map, big enough for more than a lifetime's worth of adventure. So it's lucky for us that our sources, our six sources map also suggests some guidelines for discerning the most appropriate routes. Not that we can't venture off-road, just that our tradition has found certain ways more fruitful routes to achieving our purposes. Notice that each of these six statements includes a which clause. For example, we are not pointed to the entirety of the Jewish and Christian traditions or expected to swallow them whole, even though they are indisputably the soil out of which both Unitarian and Universalism grew. Rather, we look to those teachings which call us to respond to God's love by loving our neighbors. Take a look at those which clauses, and you'll see that they all point back to our seven principles and the behaviors we covenant with each other to cultivate in our individual and collective lives. So our beliefs may come from wide-flung sources, they may vary from one to another among us, and we may be hard-pressed to provide a brief cogent description of them to each other or to outsiders, but it is not that we think they don't matter. They matter a great deal, and we take them so seriously that we insist we cannot foist them upon each other. If each individual and all human persons have worth and dignity and a life meant to include spiritual growth, then we must honor and protect the freedom and the integrity of each individual path, even in the midst of our life together as a community. No, not even in community life, but especially and precisely in our being together, because we are bound up with each other and with everything else that belongs in the web of all existence, as invoked by our seventh principle. When I am my best self, there is not within me the slightest inclination to tell you what you should believe. I should point out that my best self is like, you know, not somewhere I am all the time. And we do well to remember that. But when I am my best self, I don't want to tell you what you should believe. But I do hope that you will allow me to witness and support your journey toward the best and most life-giving beliefs and practices you can find, those which will bring you peace and empower you to nudge the world in the direction of the world of which we dream. It matters what we believe, as in the poem by the preeminent Unitarian religious educator of the 20th century, Sophia Lyon Foss, which I want to share with you in closing. If you're interested, it is in the hymnal, and I can tell you the number later. But she writes, "Some beliefs are like pleasant gardens with high walls around them. They encourage exclusiveness and the feeling of being especially privileged. Other beliefs are expansive and lead the way into wider and deeper sympathies. Some beliefs are like shadows darkening children's days with fears of unknown calamities. Other beliefs are like the sunshine, blessing children with the warmth of happiness. Some beliefs are divisive, separating the saved from the unsaved, friends from enemies. Other beliefs are bonds in a universal brotherhood, where sincere differences beautify the pattern. Some beliefs are like blinders, shutting off the power to choose one's own direction. Other beliefs are like gateways, opening up wide vistas for exploration. Some beliefs weaken a child's selfhood. They blight the growth of resourcefulness. Other beliefs nurture self-confidence and enrich the feeling of personal worth. Some beliefs are rigid, like the body of death, impotent in a changing world. Other beliefs are pliable, like the young sapling, ever growing with the upward thrust of life. It is indeed important what humanity has believed. It is important what we believe. It does matter what we believe, and as we grow individually and collectively in spirit and wisdom, we might just learn to release those old beliefs that limit and harden and exclude and divide in favor of beliefs that empower us to create communities marked by the growth of wider and deeper compassion, more happiness for all, not just the children, because we are all precious, and more justice. So here we are, a collection of individuals from many different who knows wheres, gathered together in the practice of a Unitarian Universalism, rooted in and fed by a multitude of sources, and pledged to take up the strenuous tasks of transforming both ourselves and our world so we can all move toward more justice and more love. And no, I will not be able to tell you what you should believe, but I hope you will allow me to offer this blessing. Wherever you have come from, and wherever you head off to from this sacred time together, may you be guided by beliefs that shed light on your path. May we all discover and grow in beliefs that just might help create a world that is wider and deeper and altogether more just and more joyful than we have dared to imagine or to desire. Namaste. Amen. Blessed be. May it be so.